Hello and welcome to The Brevue, the podcast where we invite your favorite Kanama players, influencers, and people in the Kanama community that I think you should hear from onto this podcast to talk about this game that we all love, Kanama, because Kanama is more than just a ball in a cup. So today, I'm incredibly excited to bring on one of the newest legends in the Kanama space, Cam Ronnie Two-Stank-alicious Cameron Herrero, onto the review here in a couple minutes to chat about his story and his newest announcement to the Sweets Legend team. But before we do always have to say a huge thank you to one of our biggest supporters here at the review, and that's Onyx Coffee Lab. Now, I have a confession to make. I'm actually not drinking their coffee in this mug today. I saw on sale at my local grocery store another brand that I used to love a lot. And I was like, I'm going to try something new. I'm kind of running low on my Onyx beans. I got to conserve them. And so I figured I'll brew up this coffee. And it just did not meet the same bar as I've been used to drinking the coffee that I've grown to so love from Onyx. So if you want to give Onyx a try, I really do recommend them. You can head to onyxcoffeelab.com. Use code BREVUE10. Let them know that I sent you there. It does help to go and support the show here over at the BREVUE Studios. With all that said, we do want to get Cam on here right away. So Cam, come join us and let's dive into this week's review.
What's up?
Cam Ronnie Two-Stank-alicious. Did you like that long form name? I tried to bridge all of your nicknames into one.
Yeah, I have... Sorry, I'm eating crab ragoons right now, so I got some stuff.
You're eating what? Crab?
Yeah, crab ragoons. You know what crab ragoons are?
No.
They're delicious.
What's
They're
a crab delicious. Ragoon?
It's like a deep fried, like floury pastry type deal with crab and like either crab or cream cheese, green onions in it, stuff like okay. that. Like I've, a wonton.
Is it real crab or is it imitation crab?
I think these ones are real crab. Lots of them would probably be imitation. And do you know what a wonton is? You ever heard of a wonton? Yeah. That's what it is. Ragoon, wonton, same deal. Potato, potato.
Cool. That's cool. Did you make that yourself at Panda Express? Is that an option on the menu?
No, we have cream cheese ragoons. I got this from a noodle shop over here
betraying Panda Express for the other ragoons. do they know? Is this your confession?
I mean, they don't have crab, you know, so everybody usually has a generalization or just a generic saying for whatever it is. So shrimp fried rice for fried rice or crab ragoons for ragoons, no matter what. So I just tell them that there's no crab, and then some of them actually get mad, so they don't order them. So that's why I always say it too. There's no crab.
Yeah. Really? So that's a pretty popular purchase that people make elsewhere. I've never heard of these before, but people ask for that all the time. I've literally never heard of these in my life.
Yeah. Cream cheese ragoons, crab ragoons. They always ask for it, or they'll say wontons or, you okay. know.
All right. Well, next time I come down, I'm coming down to Vegas in a couple of weeks. In November, and so maybe I'll see if I can find myself a crab ragoon.
Yeah, you could. Probably not at Panda though. They only got cream cheese. Remember?
Yeah, no Panda Express ragoons. I'll tell them. I'm gonna walk they're in there good, and say, though. I know you they're don't good. Have crab good, ragoon.
You know, they're good. They're good. You know, don't not eat them. You know, I don't want to not promote the business. I guess.
Do you got a promo link for Panda Express? You want to drop for us here?
Eat at Panda. Eat there, made with love and gratitude.
Yeah, man, dude, Cam, I'm so stoked you're here. I know that a lot of people have been asking for you to come on the show for a long time. I've got DM after DM after DM, and kind of the show took a little bit of a hiatus during the brew battle season. You and I had actually talked months back about getting you on the show because you had said, hey, there's something coming this summer. We should wait to do it till then. And I said, okay, let's wait. And you have now been officially announced to the Sweets Kanama's Legend team. That is exciting. How does that feel?
I mean, it feels cool. You got to know something about me is I don't know. I'm really grateful and stuff. And, you know, I love the hype and stuff. But, you know, I, in the end, just love Kanama and something that'll help me become part of something bigger, you know, and, you know, push Kanama in a even better way and have more resources to do so, then, you know, so be it. And, you know, part of this team is just people that I've already known too. So, you know, it's just like, I've already been home the whole time. So, you know, they always treated me like family. It was never, you know, played to get noticed by them, you know, 'cause they already noticed me. So yeah, you know, I love it. And it's hype. Yeah, I'm excited. it may not sound like it, but I'm really excited. I just don't, I show it in a weird way, you know. Yeah, I just like the
humility, play. Man. Yeah, it's being humble, you know. Yeah. Okay, so you've been noticed by Sweets for a long time, and partly because you've literally been with Kanama for a long time. You've been around the game pretty much as long as it's existed in North America. As far as I know, you've been playing for quite some time.
Almost. Well, 8 years. 8 years. And then 9 at the end of December, beginning of January. That week, that crossover week in between December and January is when I first started. Like the New Year week was the when I started in 2012, 2013. So
okay. I definitely want to, we'll jump into that conversation because I do want to hear the origin story of Cam Herrero. Right. How do you prefer to be introduced or called? I remember you and I were on a Zoom call once. I was like, dude, I don't even know what to call you, because this was the first time that I think you and I ever actually like were in a conversational setting, because I've seen you at events. Like I've been to MKO and NACO a couple times, and I've definitely seen you in your yellow Pikachu hat running around. But I never had a conversation with you, and I just have heard, you know, oh, it's like Ronnie Stanky or Stanky Ron, you know, like everybody has a different way of calling you. What do you prefer people refer to you as?
You can call me Ronnie. Or you can call me Cam, Cameron, okay. Ronnie, one of those three. Or, you know, you can call me Stanky, Danky, Stanker, Danker, whatever the heck you want. But preferably, you can just be a little normal and call me Ronnie, because I like to be called Ronnie or Cam.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. So Ronnie, we will jump into your origin story here in a couple seconds, but before we do, we'd like to ask all the guests that come on the show, 3 standard questions. It gives a little bit of consistency, gives kind of a map for our guests to fall into on each episode. I haven't seen you drink anything yet, but are you drinking anything today with us as you've joined the preview? You know, this is a heavily caffeinated show.
Heavily caffeinated? Well, not yet, but I have a V8 energy.
Energy. What is that, mango flavored?
It is peach mango, steady energy from black and green tea, about 80 milligrams in it.
Cracking open a cold one over here. I've never seen those before. That must be American only. I remember you obviously, you have to remember the commercials from like way back where it's like, should have had a V8, you know?
Yeah.
Remember those? Yeah. But I never had one. Like I've never had a V8 in my life. And because I can't get over the idea of like drinking tomato juice, that just sounds disgusting. But no, I know that one isn't. That one's peach mango. That's cool. Is it, what does it taste like? Is it like a sparkling juice kind of flavor?
No, they do have sparkling, but that's the nasty ones. You don't want the sparkling. This is just straight 50% juice. And you know, yeah, it's just like the juice one, peach mango, V8 energy. Yeah. It tastes like peach mango. And then there's vegetables in it too. And fruit.
Heck yeah. Good for you. Cam's a healthy guy. All right, Cam. Yeah. I want to know additionally, second question here. If you could teach any one person, past, present, alive or dead, doesn't matter, their first spike, who would it be? You could go back in time. You could go teach. You could teach anyone. Who would it be?
That's like a hard question, man. That's like,
they're only going to get harder.
That is a hard question. I don't know. I'd probably say, I really can't tell you. I couldn't tell you.
Just who's like a character out there that you like look up to? Maybe that's not in Kanama. Like what? I don't know, like, who's the CEO of Panda Express? You could teach him.
Andrew Turing. I don't know if I teach Andrew Turing. I don't know, man. Samuel Jackson.
Sam Jackson. Ooh, do you think he's touched a Kanama before? Do you think he's played one?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think it's crossed many stars. It's crossed.
I mean, I think so.
Barack Obama, when he won the presidency, apparently the JK sent him a golden Mugen. So,
oh really? That's cool.
Yeah.
So that's how you get the rarest of Kanamas. Become president of the United States, and you'll get a golden Mugen.
What? Wait. So who did I say?
You said Sam Jackson.
Samuel Jackson. Yeah. Samuel Jackson. Yeah, definitely. Because I just think, I don't know. He's a I like him in movies. Like I am a movie kind of guy. So when I think of somebody, I don't know, I couldn't really think of anybody else. Cause I just like, you know, mostly just movies and stuff. And my heroes are, I don't know, like, it's kind of weird to say what my heroes are. I don't really know if I just kind of look towards, I guess the open air for inspiration to just kind of come to me in a way. And I kind of create the inspiration inside of me in a way. So I don't know.
What's your favorite Sam Jackson movie? If you have one, maybe that, questions like that on the spot are sometimes so hard to answer. So like, if you don't have one, that's fine.
Pulp Fiction, definitely. Pulp Fiction. He's really good in that.
I actually haven't seen Pulp Fiction, I consider myself a movie guy, and I still haven't seen it.
I think it's a good thing because you didn't expose yourself to the vibes of that movie because you've never seen it. So the later, you know, it is, you'll still get the vibes because you've never seen it, you know. Ooh. And it's always good when you watch it. Like, that's just one of, I'd say most of the Quentin Tarantino movies with Samuel Jackson. I like him in Star Wars. He was great. I mean, he was great. He was in Star Wars. I mean, there's just so many movies. I can't talk as
Mace Windu. Gosh, I couldn't get that word out of my mouth.
Mace Windu. Yeah, no, I teach Samuel Jackson, not like the hero of mine or anything, but I do like him in movies, and I couldn't really think of anybody else on the spot, so I thought of Samuel Jackson.
That's a good choice, good choice. I like that one. All right, last question before we really dive into your story narrative, but who is the most inspiring player in the Kanama community to you today? Not of all time, not like who got you into, but like who inspires you currently?
Currently... I don't know, just kind of anybody that just wants to, you know, push it as far as it can. Cause there's so many players, and the way I play, I really don't, it's so weird. Nobody really knows this. I feel like that I don't really anymore, at least like I used to, like, you know, be inspired by like a lot of people to do whatever, but now it's just kind of any person that really wants to just do it. You know, like the other day I watched, this girl, she made a reel, right? She made a reel, and it was like to that song by Tame Impala, like they're, you know, one of their main songs or whatever. I forgot what it's called, but she made it, and it was just like so vibey, and it was like pure kendama. You know, she just filmed herself playing kendama. There wasn't like super insane tricks, but the vibes are all there, and the inspiration was there because you're just doing it. You're playing kendama. You know, you're getting the feeling. You know, you're pushing yourself, and you know, and that's what I don't know, I look at the most, and maybe I guess I could say Ben Harold too, because he just goes crazy on the consistency lines on his story. I always flip through, and then he just does like the same trick but like 8 different variations, and that's really, I just like, you know, watching that. I guess I don't, I'm so weird, man.
That kind of stuff definitely hits like an ASMR piece in my head, like when, you know, wherever it is. I love watching Ben's stories when he does those kind of you know, progression series. It's like, man, this is really aesthetic. Like, I know what he's about to do in the next slide, but I want to watch it anyways because it's just that aesthetic and that ASMR for me. Like, it just hits it. I love it.
And Sam Cannon, I'm just gonna say all the time still though, all time, no matter what, is Sam Cannon. He probably doesn't play as much as he did, but he's forever gonna be the number one person that inspires my play.
Hey, Sam Cannon. I know that Sam's been mentioned a couple times, and definitely Ben has been mentioned a few times on the show as an inspiring player. They rightfully so. They've inspired generations of Kanama players, that's for sure. So huge picks. Okay, Cam, let's dive in here. I want to know some of your story. I know that you've been around in Kanama for a long time. Obviously, you've just been announced to the legend team, the Swedish Kanamas, which is a big deal. You know, you are among the lineup of some of Kanama's greatest players that have been around or been some of the most influential leaders in this space that we've all come to really love and enjoy. But take me back in time. Like, you are in some regard to me a mythical creature in Kanama. I have always known of you, but I don't know if I ever knew you. Even as someone who's, you know, seen every single Sweets Life episode to date, every Kusa episode, like I've probably seen every piece of content that you've ever been in. But where did it begin for you? Where did Kanama enter your life?
Kanama entered my life at probably, well, honestly, everybody says this too. I feel like every Kendama player that has been in Kendama for, you know, 5+ years, they always say that at some point it crossed their path before it crossed their path, before it actually got in their hands and in the reality. So I also say that probably, you know, through the years of me growing up, or it crossed my path at some point, because I feel like it did. But after high school, you know, I wasn't really doing anything, you know, and I had a feeling in me. I don't know why. It was so weird. I had a feeling. I was like, that I was going to find something that I was going to be really good at. And I said it too. I said, I'm going to find something that I'm going to be really good at. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what the hell it was, or, you know, and I kind of just kept going, you know. And then throughout the rest of, I just graduated. So I'm having, you know, just hanging out, having fun. And then, yeah. So end of the year, 2012, my friend comes back from college. His name's Justin Green. He has a Kendama, and I already forgot about everything I said about, you know, having that feeling of finding something. So he comes with a Kendama. I'm like, what is this, Justin? You know, I don't like this thing. This thing's kind of dumb. Like, what are you doing? You know, and you know me, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, too, when everybody's younger, kind of haters, you know, I was a hater.
Yeah, I was too.
Yeah, I was hating on him super hard, you know. I was like, yeah, this thing sucks, man. This thing's dumb. Like, I'm never going to play with this. And then I threw it down the stairs. And then the next day, he came over again. And then my other friend got one too, my friend Joe. And then after that, I started playing a little bit. And I had the stop, and I had like a thought, because then it started going to all of our friends. You know, everybody started playing now a little bit. And I had the thought, you know, could I do this every single day of my life? Like, and then, you know, I was like, could I really do that? And then I kept playing. And then I seen WKT, Where We Are. If you haven't heard of that edit, please go check it out.
That's the Menachi Kendama team video,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Count Me In and Where We Are were the two edits that I watched at that time. And they just recently came out with like Where We Are, like that summer. So, and I had no idea. And I look and I'm like, wow, like I only thought you could do so many things with this, you know? So I saw that and I was like, all right. And then I knew exactly what I wanted to do and what I was going to do. And then, yeah. And to answer the question, yeah, January 2013, to answer the question simply, is when it came into life.
Yeah. Yeah. How old were you? Like, not, obviously I don't want to like disclose everything, but like, were you in high school at the time, or were you like,
I just graduated and, I was 18. My birthday was the next month. I was 18 years old.
So you're what, like 26 now, 27? You're right around my age.
I'm 27. I'm going to turn 28 in January.
Yeah. Makes sense. Dude, that's sick. That's super cool. I feel like that's a story that a lot of people have, where, you know, you were a hater at first. You're like, this thing's kind of dumb. And then you like, maybe you're kind of like subconsciously, oh, maybe that thing's kind of cool. Let me see what it's like on YouTube. And then you go watch a YouTube video. Cause that's what it was for me, is like, I didn't find Kendama till I was 2014. It was like a year after you would have found it. I've been playing for about 7 years now. 6.5, 7 years. And I remember not really being sold on it when my friend showed me. And then he sent me a message. He's like, hey, Kendama, what was it? Caleb Kendama was going out of business. He's like, yo, you should buy one. They're like $8. And I was like, okay. And I watched a YouTube video, and it was the Zumadonke video. And so that video was the one that like pushed me over the line, where like, yo, there's these dope guys that are shredding this ball and cup game, making it look like it's a Red Bull X game style sport. And I was like, okay, I'm down. And I was BMXing at the time, so it kind of fit the culture of what I was like aspiring to. At least that video felt that way. So dude, that was a very similar journey for me coming into it. So you found it right after high school. That's kind of an odd time, I think, for at least it would have been for me, and I think for a lot of people, because so many other people's stories of Kendama began in school, where it kind of like blew up really quick and everybody was playing. But for you, were there other people around that played?
Not many. It was only, you know, me, Justin, Joe, and then it got to my friend Mitch, and then we kind of had a little group going, and they kind of slowed down. I found Ian like 5-6 months in. I seen him on Twitter and I followed him. I was like, oh,
on Twitter?
I was so fanboy. I was like, you don't even understand. Like, I used to tag all the pros in everything.
On Twitter though? Like, who uses Twitter for Kendama?
Not on Twitter. I didn't tag them on Twitter, but I had like a Twitter then, and I was like twitting,
tweeting.
I was on Twitter at that time, and then I saw Ian Twitter, and I was like, you got to follow. Someone told me about Ian, and they're like, Powerhouse Boss on Twitter. And I looked and I followed him. I was like, man, I was like, dang, that guy's really good at kendama. I was like, dang. I was like all freaking out and stuff. And then I finally met him at a party, like a couple of weeks later. And then he was doing like base cup Ken flips. And I was like, oh my God, I was like, that's crazy. I was like, that's nuts. And or that, yeah, that was about five, I think 4 or 5 months in actually. And then around 6 or 7 months, because I started playing with him, we started hanging out a lot, and then everything just kind of started corresponding with it. There was more people that played, and then we eventually had like a little squad of people. And then around 6 or 7 months is when I really like took off. Like 7 months in, mm-hmm. I did 1, 2, 3 inward lunar flips on a Redl Zora, and then from there it kind of just went. And then yeah, and then there's so much more. So dude, go ahead, continue.
Yeah, absolutely. So where are you living? Like, are you Minneapolis?
No, I'm Michigan.
You're Michigan. And so you've been in Michigan your whole kendama career, or have you moved around the country a little bit?
No, I've been in Michigan.
Okay, super cool. Yeah. So that's where you and Ian and sort of where your origins began. And the thing for me is, like, I don't actually really know many other kendama players from the Michigan area. Like, who else is in Michigan that plays?
Well, he's not here now, but he left because he's part of CUSA now, but Zach Maggs is from Michigan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is he in Georgia now?
Yeah. Atlanta? He moved to Georgia. He lived about 45 minutes. Hold on here. Let me do the Michigan thing again. Okay. Hold on.
Are we going to see a hand sign?
Yeah. Like, this is where I'm at in Michigan. Cause you get it. Michigan's a mitten. I'm right here.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Michigan looks like this, is a shape of a mitten.
And I'm a Canadian. I don't know my American geography.
No, it's okay. And I'd be about right here, and then Zach Maggs would be about right here.
That's cool. Did you guys cross paths early on in your kendama play?
Oh yeah, of course. Like, he'd always come and hang out with us and stuff, because he was one of the people that got that the wave spread to, and he was inspired by us to play, and then you'd come out and hang out all the time. We'd all jam every single Tuesday when Glowfish opened. That was another thing. That's another. Man, I feel like my story's all complicated. I want you to like ask more questions so I can answer them.
Yeah, well, detail some of the early journey for you. You know, when did it start becoming a little bit more serious? Because I think, to get to where you're at in kendama, and where myself or maybe someone who's been playing for more than a couple of years, it's like I find that a lot of people have maybe like a turning point, or where it clicked, or where they met someone that changed the course of their kendama journey, where they started to take it a bit more seriously and it became part of their identity. Was there a moment like that for you?
Yeah, right. A month in, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I knew exactly what I had to do, and I did it. That was it. First month in, as soon as I seen that video, I knew that's it. We're getting serious. And I went.
And so you just committed, you knew from that early on. I don't think I would have been able to say that myself. Like, I didn't realize that I was this invested into kendama until probably like 3 years in, or two years in, because I hadn't really met anyone else that was into it. It was just such a small thing for me. And it was just the thing that I really liked doing, but none of my friends did. I had like two other people that played with me. And so for me, it didn't feel that way, but you picked it up real fast like that. That's crazy. That's so cool. So
yeah, just like immediately.
Yeah. Okay. You were hinting at a few things. Like, there was a lot that happened on in the early career of your career journey, whatever you want to call it. But like, what were some of the milestones that started to hit early on, where you started meeting other people and it started, becoming a bit more?
Oh, well, what happened is, like, I got hit with the thing after, I watched those videos, immediately knew what I had to do. So every single day I would do that, because I didn't have a job or anything. So I just play every single day. Nonstop, even at 4 a.m, I'd be on my street, on the main street here, and the cops would see me doing triple lighthouse flips or practicing just kendama on the street. No matter what time it was, I'm doing it. Like, and then from there, about a year in, we planned a trip right in 2014 to go to battle in Seattle. And, cause we didn't go to any events yet, there wasn't any events. We had little events at our like area, cause Glowfish opened up at around.
What is Glowfish?
Glowfish Studios is a art studio and like little knickknack and a whole bunch of everything shop, cool stuff, ghostly, whatever, a whole bunch of random, like, little awesome stuff store, and art. And the people, the owners, they live above it. And they were the only people to make that store last, because that store or that area, that building has been there for like 10, 15 plus years. And every single person that moved in moved right back out a month in, and they're the only ones that stayed. And they've been there ever since for about 8 years now, ever since I started playing Kadema. And, they opened it up and they were like, oh, man, this is a story. Okay. Let me just go into it. Okay.
Yeah, riff.
One night, me, Justin, and then there was another Justin that just so happened to pass by. It was so weird, but I was with two Justins. We were playing Kendama, and the owner of Glowfish, it's like midnight, 1 a.m., and we're outside. He crosses the street, and he goes, which is some guy coming up. We're like, what the heck? We're like, who is this guy? He comes up. His name's Bruce Morse. He comes and he says, hey, are those Kendamas? And we're like, whoa. We're like, yeah. Like, how do you know what that is? He's like, oh, well, we're about to open this shop next week that's going to sell them. And I'm like, no way. And then, you know, from there, they opened up the shop. And then from there, it built their store up kind of in the beginning. It kind of jump-started them, the Kendama, because of the huge wave. And they started the huge explosion in a way that added, because it gave us, now we had access. You know what I mean? We had a store that had Kendamas that are coming in, you know what I mean? So we have access, full access to Kendamas in such a way that they're right at our fingertips. And then from there, it just blew up, and everybody was going crazy. And then, like I said before, sorry, I'm Aquarius, my stories are all over the place.
Yeah,
2014, we planned a trip to Battle Seattle, and we're gonna revolve it around like a huge big trip. So we did in about August of 2014. This was going to be our first event ever, meeting every single person at once, literally, that we've seen in videos, because that's just how DKT does it. We hit it all at once. We hit every nail on the head all at once. And, we started our trip, from Michigan to Colorado. We drove 22 hours to Colorado from there. We hit up Bonds. We chilled with Bonds. We when we got to Denver, we drove to Boulder to chill with Bonds. Had a night with Bonds and went to like this legendary house. It was insane. Like, it was just crazy. From there, we went down to Vegas area, or like New Mexico, Vegas area from there. And then we chilled with like KD, and we met some people there, you know, Justin Clement, Kaz. We met some the Vegas homies. Then from there, we went to, went to the Grand Canyon, we went after Vegas, we went to San Fran, and we met up with Jake Weens, and then we stayed at Jake Weens' house for 3 days. So that was super sick. And he gave us the whole lowdown.
That's crazy.
San Francisco. We went to San Francisco. We went to San Francisco Ken Garden Tuesday or whatever, like the little Kendama night we had. Met Ben Harold, OG Ben Harold, met Nelson Gazunga. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. He was an OG homie of Ben Harold. They would trick together. Just had that whole adventure. Then from there, Haley Bischoff was also with us. So we met Haley. And from there, we actually went and visited Haley in Bend, Oregon. If you didn't know, that's where her home, hometown is Bend, Oregon. We went and hung out with her in Bend for a little bit, ate some burritos. And we're almost to, Seattle. So
then that was the whole journey to get to Seattle.
Yes. The whole journey to get to Seattle. You were doing all of this stuff. Yeah. Yeah. It was a 2 week.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then from San Francisco, we went north, went to Bend. And then from there, we went to Northern Cali before that. And then we went to Bend. And then after Bend, we finally got into Washington. And that was like insane, because as soon as we get there to the hotel, by the way, crappiest hotel ever, whoever's idea it was to go out to Super 8, the 3-story Super 8, where there's people that are actually tenants in there, not people staying. They actually live there. Well, I go there and there's a parking lot across the street filled with like 100 Kendama players. We're just like, are you kidding me? And we're talking legends. We're talking Colin Sander. We're talking Chris June, Wyatt Bray. We're talking like Tannehack. We're just talking all of the West, the whole West.
Yeah.
And then I meet like Norks, and I meet like Chris Bosch, and they're like, oh my God. They're like, is that Kendama Malicious? They're like, he's here? That's insane. And like, yeah, like I've met them all, and then all of us like we all met everybody at once, like all at once. Sweets, like all the Sweets team. I did a double trick with Keith Matsumera. It took us like a minute and 30 seconds to do one through three lunar flips.
That's crazy. Dude, he is the guy that I would love to film a doubles trick with. One of my favorite all-time Kanama players, Keith Matsumera.
Keith Matsumera is the gas, and I love that guy too. Definitely was a huge inspiration back then too, as well with all the other people. But yeah, like we met every single, basically we literally met the whole community of Kendama at that time. All the OG players, we met them all of them. And I even got to get a trick in the Sweets edit, which was really awesome. And that was kind of the start of it, that showed that, you know, they're chill, you know, like, cause I always wanted Kendama Co, but it was just like, it's just like the feeling of Kendama Co that made me want to be on there is like the feeling I got when I watched the videos and how crazy they were all. And that's kind of what probably got me to be real crazy, but Sweets let me in his video and I just had like Kendama Co on, you know, he said, just do a trick for me. And everybody like freaked out. And then from there, the trip wasn't over. We went to the Sweets warehouse on the way back in Minnesota.
You went all the way, because Michigan's east of Minnesota, right?
Well, yeah, we went like this. So say this is like the U.S. We went like this in a big circle, like a big circle around. So we hit the north to come back
down. Did you go through like Sandpoint, Idaho? Or did you go up close to the Canadian border? Or did you go back through kind of the middle states?
We went back to the middle states, and also at Balenciaga, I only got to meet Colin Sander for 15 minutes because everybody went to Van Jam after that, and we couldn't go to Van Jam.
You didn't have your. Yeah. You should come next year. Have you been to Van Jam?
I've never been to Van Jam.
No. You should come. You should come to Brew Battle next year. Make it your first Canadian event.
I'll figure some stuff out. You know, maybe Sweets will hook me up and stuff. I do work a lot though, man. Like it's so I can't always condemn all the time, which sucks, even though I make time to work.
Yeah, I know. I see you post clips in the Panda Express, like what is that, break room or hallway? I don't even know where you're doing it, but you're doing it somewhere in there. It looks cramped, and I don't know how you do the tricks that you do in that tight of a space on the regular in what must be the sweatiest place possible.
It is definitely gets really, really hot quick. And then it's just like a small area in the back by the back door. And then if you ask anybody that does know me as a down player, that I can play in like basically any space. Like it doesn't have to be light, dark, small, big. I can kind of figure out a way depending, you know, unless it's like a little cubby, it doesn't make any sense, but
you don't let the conditions get to you too much.
Yeah. I deal with the elements. And also the fact has to do with me learning inside of this house, you know, Ian's house in his basement. There was no light and I could do like crazy stuff in his basement. So like when I first learned, I was learning to play Kendama in his dark basement. So.
Yeah. I mean, you know, theoretically that gives you a huge advantage when you finally get to play in good lighting or in good conditions. And all of a sudden it's like, I've had to play in crap my whole life. And now I get to come here. It's like, this is awesome. You know? So, okay. So you obviously probably gained so much from that trip. Obviously there's so much that you could unpack in that whole journey, but give me like the like two or three major highlights of that trip for you. Like what did that trip mean to you?
It meant everything. It exposed me to a world of people that I didn't know existed. That I didn't know I could be, so close with. So fast, just overall the kind of epic journey of what literal legends are told. It was just a mythological journey in which everything happened in such a crazy legendary way, like from starting from meeting Bonds to just staying with Jake Weens and like, you know, meeting everybody at once. And then, you know, it was, it meant a lot. It meant a whole lot. It really impacted me, I'd say. And why I play Kendama mostly is not even just because I feel like some sort of crazy inspiration in me that literally makes me like, I'll like cry sometimes. I like feel like, I don't know, I just like want to go do it. But it's the people, you know, the people. I love the people. I love watching the people play. I love seeing how they play. I love getting perspectives. I do. So.
Dude, that's awesome. That's so cool. I have craved doing a trip like that for some time. I got to do kind of I've done a few trips to events. Like I drive down to Naco every, or I had driven down to Naco The past 2 years it was in person, and then I drove out to Van.
I'm sorry we didn't talk either. Like, I feel like I'm sorry we didn't like talk.
Don't apologize. I literally was like a virtual nobody at that point in Kanama. Like I had a few people that I knew going down there that were like the people I met my first year. But when I first went to MKO and NACO, I didn't know anybody. I was just that fanboy in the corner being like, yo, that's Wyatt Bray over there. Yo, that's Cam, you know? And that was me. And I just tried to meet new people, and it was such a blast and had great conversations. I met Haley for the first time back there, and we were chatting a bunch. And then, you know, since then her and I have become good friends. And now, you know, like a lot of the relationships that I have now on the preview, like, have started, you know, way back then. And it's just cool to see the progression. And I don't think that a lot of relationships form like instantaneously. Sometimes it takes like four times to meet someone before you actually start to click. And you're like, oh, you know what? Like, you're actually pretty cool. Like, I like hanging out with you. I like chilling with you. And it's not always a first time you see someone that is going to happen. I don't know. Don't take that stuff too seriously. It's like, I'm going to meet everybody at some point.
Yeah.
I just want to meet everyone, man. I like meeting people. I like being a social butterfly, but nonetheless, doing a trip like that, I think is one of the most profound things that anyone in the Kanama community could do for themselves. I think that we have in today's like current generation of Kanama players that have kind of come into the game in the past 2 years. They live in the very internet age of Kanama, where it's a lot of online competition, Zoom calls, all these sorts of things. And they haven't actually had the opportunity to get in a vehicle, to travel through a state, to go to an event, and to actually shake the hands or give a hug to, you know, that Dama pro or that Dama person that they've seen online. And there is a radical difference between saying, yo, good match online, to, dude, you freaking killed it on stage. I'm so hyped you won. There's a serious difference between that. And the relationship difference that forms out of meeting people in person is just radically different. And it's the stories that come outside of the events that I think are the most impactful. And it's almost like you're going on like, there's like a thing that like monks would do. They'd go on like a walk or whatever. I can't remember.
Pilgrimage.
Yeah. Pilgrimage. Like, yeah. It's like every Kanama player who gets to the point of like legendary status has almost ventured their own pilgrimage around the different major events and has, you know, paid their dues to those who have, you know, built Kanama into what it is. And I think that kind of was your first pilgrimage. And I don't, you know, I think that laid a good foundation for you to be who you are now.
Definitely. Because that was also that year was also MKO, and we sent it to that. That's when we started sending it to events after. Like, after we did that, we sent it straight to MKO, and then that's when the stank started. That's when stank started, because I went to Bound Seattle, and I was hearing them, like, say, they'd be like, that's dank. And I'm like, you know, I got experience of the West, and all these people keep saying dank. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, what do you mean dank? They're like, you know, man, like, cool, rad, like, sick, dank. And I was like, dang, that is dank. That's danky or whatever. And then I started saying danky. And then I would say dankersons, or I'd like add an ursin. Like, it was like a joke in the car when we like drive long hours, and then out of nowhere, I would put that on the end of like a word, and everybody would start laughing. And then, you know, I went to NACO and I started like saying stanky danky or whatever. It just started progressing. And then now
now you're literally Ronnie Two-Stank.
Now Ronnie.
So that's the origin.
No, I don't want to tell the origins of Ronnie Two-Stank, because it's just not, it's not appropriate. I think it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. So.
Okay. But, well, we'll have to dive into it a little bit, because I know that stankiness and the skunk logo has made an appearance on your new mod. And so I'm assuming that there is some sort of a story, or at least some resemblance or attachment there. So I want to dive a little bit into it, but only to the level and degree you want to dive into it, because, you know, I like there being some level of secrecy behind, you know, stories and narratives. I don't know. There's just like, it's like the whole, you know, the PDOX guys, like 18 PDOX 18. It's like, what does PDOX mean? Nobody knows. And that's kind of the fun about what PDOX is. It's like, they fostered this culture of like almost secrecy. And it's like, cool. I don't know it's if I want to.
It's a paradigm.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you don't need to know, you know? Anyways, doesn't matter. This isn't about PDOX. This is about my guy, Cam. So Cam, that trip obviously was really impactful for you, but moving past that trip, like, what was kind of next in your journey? That was pretty early in your story, but you've been you know, solidifying yourself as a player in the community. You've grown obviously immensely in your skill, and you've kept up a lot with the new generation of players, and you've kind of solidified yourself as like a really high level player in America. And not only that, you are a character who brings positive vibes and a good, you know, hospitality everywhere you go. Like, you were a very well demeanored, well respected person in the space. And I think that's followed you well throughout Kanama, and everybody just loves you and appreciates you. So where did you start to realize that you're becoming an impactful voice in Kanama is more what I wanted to know.
You know, I don't know if I really ever super paid attention, like super hard. I kind of just liked, you know, like I said, I like to play. And then like when it was about Kandamako, like I was just all about like getting it. I just wanted to, let's just play. Like I seen how good they are. It's like, I want to get that good. And I was like, I'm going to get that good. And then I just kept playing. And every time I just like, I don't know. It's so weird. At some point it probably clicked. It people just seen that, like, I just loved it, and you know, I was so stoked on it. And I don't really know, I guess it would probably just be all after all the energy of the events and people meeting me at first, you know, that shows that I'm not playing around. Like, I mean, I'm playing, but I ain't playing around. We're here to get it. We're here to, whether it's win competition or not, we're here to play Kandama. We're here to push this and stay inspired all together as a whole, you know, as one, you know. You're all one. All play Kandama.
Would you consider yourself a pretty serious competitor? Are you the type that grinds the trick list, works really hard, like you're going there to do your very best to win it? Or like you want to pout him every time?
Now, no, I don't care anymore. I don't care to do competitions. I'm not competitive at all, period. The last 5 years, I don't care. In the beginning, definitely. I almost won MKO 2014. I'm not even kidding. I lost to Lucas Funk, who ended up winning. And it's all because I didn't breathe. And when they gave us those new JKO Zoras, top eight, fun fact, MKO, yeah. The last top eight, yeah. They gave us all fresh Zoras to play with.
What did you think of that? Like, I've had a few people mention it on the show now, and we've talked about it, but I want to hear your opinion. Like, were you for that or against that?
Oh, I was definitely for it. The tricks weren't that insane, you know, at that time. I mean, they were insane, I guess, in a way to us still, but they were still way doable on those. The fact was, is I didn't break it in right, and I literally slammed the spike and nubbed the spike, and I shouldn't have nubbed the spike. I probably would have got that turntable to spike, and I may have won, you know?
Did you just miss the spike after the turntable? Is that what it was?
Twice. He missed it. He got it. I could have got the point on him, but either way, it was okay. And I'd say that was probably either that or like maybe, you know, I tried further on to like compete seriously, and then I just didn't care anymore. I don't care to compete competitive, or I don't care to compete really at all anymore. And I just leave that to the people that actually have the actual time to compete. I don't have time for that. I have to work all the time, and I have time to grind though on Kandama in that sense of getting a trick, you know, and just actually playing, because it takes away from me if I do competition. It takes away from my whole experience for me, because I'm so focused on competition or this and that, you know, or I don't win. And, you know, I don't want that. I want to be focused on the whole, you know, the whole of everything that's happening, this giant machine of Kandama fury that's happening all around us. You know, I don't want to just focus on this one thing and then, you know, it ruined my whole experience because I'm not only focused on the competition. I'm not talking to anybody, you know, because if I get down on competition, I'm not talking to nobody. You're not going to talk to me. I'll be really in it. I'll be really in it to win it. And you're not going to talk to me at all. I'm not going to talk to nobody. And I don't want to do that, you know? And I did win. I won one time. I won our event down in the D4. And yeah, I didn't talk to anybody. I won freestyle. I was like super in my mind and I didn't care what was happening. I knew that I just had to play. I didn't know if I was going to win or not, but I knew I had to play and that was it. So, you know, I don't want to do that. I feel like it ruined my experiences when I go to an event instead of, you know, having fun and frolicking with the players. I'm by myself grinding tricks, trying to win a competition.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. And you kind of are that type that, you know, I've seen through your posts and through your stories and everything, like you're a grinder, like you want to hit big tricks, and you are very consistent, and you hit some nasty stuff on the regular. And I know you say all the time, like you're busy, you're working. And it was, you know, I mean, even you and I, like trying to get this interview set up, it's like you hustle and you're working really hard at Panda Express, but you still find time to lace insanely difficult tricks that would take me so freaking long to land. And you find time for that because you've made the space and you made the priority to play Kanama.
Definitely prioritized it. Yeah.
Do you think that a lot of people, and maybe this is just like asking for your social commentary, your social opinion. I hear it a lot from people like, oh, I don't have time to play Kanama. Like when you hear people say that, what does that make you think?
That makes me think it's just not a priority, and that's okay. You know, you don't have time. You're right. You do have time. You're right. It's all on you. You make the time. If you want to do it, you do it. If you don't, you don't. It'll still be here. And that just may not be how into it you are. You know, some people aren't into it like that. They just want to play. And then others just want to play to be noticed. So It all depends on the people. And I think that no matter what, someone can make time for something. It just depends on how much you love it and how much you're willing to sacrifice for it. And I'm willing to sacrifice everything to just go. I even go an hour and a half break. Like I get an hour break at Panda. There's been two times where I went an hour and a half. The first time is when I made the Honey Sesame video and I did triple 1.5 tap. Throwback to Lunar from Lunar, and that trick took me 45 minutes on break, and I went an hour and a half over my or I went in a half hour over my hour break, and they didn't get mad or anything, but I got the trick, and I knew that if I did not do it right then and there, it was never going to happen. So I do make time no matter what, and even over work, because you'll lose me real quick if you get in the way of my life like that. Like I've requested off because something's going down for NACO. And if she doesn't give it to me, then, you know, I'm gone. You know, this is my life. This is my life. It's what keeps me sane. It's what keeps me from falling. It's what keeps me from, you know, losing myself. So
I don't think they could fire you. You do too good of a job. And seriously, like every time I go down to the States, you're driving around, I'm like, oh, that's Panda Express. I should go there. That's where Cam works. You know, it's like you've obviously influenced people. So, you know, just tell them that you are a Panda Express influencer and you're working overtime by playing Kanama. That's what you tell them. They should be paying you to play more Kanama.
No, I mean, this is kind of my job now since I'm like sponsored. So not in the way of like, oh, it's like a chore or anything. It's never a chore for me to do anything, you know. It's a chore for me to get to the trick, of course, because I always got to grind. Mm-hmm. Usually it doesn't take me quick. I usually have the grind because I don't warm up. I just jump right in and go for whatever it is in my mind and stuff. So I don't know.
Dude, heck yeah. Okay, catch me up to today. I want to hear the legend story and how you got announced as the newest Sweets Kanama's legend and your mod. Give a little bit of a hype around the new product. But when did this all begin for you in becoming Sweets' newest legend?
Last year, around March or April of 2020. There's some elements that correspond that I'm not going to discuss. But overall, the whole retrospect, or I don't know if I'm saying terms right, but the whole story really is just I wasn't really playing, you know, in 2020, like 2019, 2020, NACO just happened, you know. I just went to battle at the border and stuff, but I was still like on a border of like, you know, what am I doing now in Kendama? Because Kendama Co. was gone for a while, then I was repping Crom, and you know, I would feel a certain weird way when I would go to events or whatever, you know, repping them. Or also I'd have like a Dom anxiety type deal because I would like play, but it would be specifically to get noticed by the company. You know, it wouldn't be just me playing to play, you know, to get it, you know, to be Kendamalicious. You know what I mean? To really feel that fury, you know, to feel that Kendama fury that you want to go and just feel the magic. And I didn't feel it. I just felt, you know, weird where I'm at. And then, like I said, I went to battle at the border. And I ended up leaving my shoes. I lost my shoes at NACO that year, right? I talked to Sweet. He's like, man, sorry, we lost your shoes. And he like, let me get a free Damo, you know, at Battle at the Border. He's like, here, man, just pick out a Damo since we lost your shoes or whatever.
Wait, why did Sweets have your shoes?
Okay. So I go to
NACO. Hold on. This is an important detail because I'm like, why is Sweets in charge of your shoes?
Well, I went to NACO and I brought two pairs of shoes. Because I had like my OG shoes that I would always wear. I would wear like these OG super like James Worthy 1979 or like 1980 Lakers New Balance that my boy got me from a thrift store like 8 years ago. And now they're all scuffed and messed up. But I would usually wear those because they're just so OG and like super vintage. And then I had these other sick like KDs. They're like crazy looking. You've probably seen them. If you see my edit, you've seen the shoes that I was wearing. Those are the shoes. They're like crazy looking, you know, wild shoes. You know, I always like something that's, even though I had the same pairs of shorts, I still, you know, they're wild. You know, I like stuff that looks wild, you know, and crazy and weird, you know, not normal. So I left my shoes there and they couldn't find them. So, he said we lost them. So he let me get a Dama. And then after that, went back home. And then a couple months go by. And I'm not really playing still. I'm sort of, you know, doing some tricks and I'm playing with crumbs and playing with a little bit of sweets because I have some anyway. And he gave me one. Then I see the watermelon, right? The watermelon. They came out the watermelon. You remember that? It came out watermelon, yeah. Pizza.
Was like, that the V? That was V24 or 25?
V20. I think one of those. Yeah. I don't know which one, but
it was a couple series ago. But yeah. Big. That was a big hit, that line, because it was the watermelon donut and pizza.
Yeah. And it was so gas. I love watermelon. And I was like, they put it on a dime. I was like, all right, well, I haven't bought sweets in a while, but I'll buy one because I like that. I like it's Kush and I like the watermelon. Like it's a sick design. And then when I got the package, I got a big package. I was like, wait a second. I was like, this isn't just one dama. And then I opened it and it was my shoes. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, you guys found my shoes. That's so sick. Like here, Cam, they're like, we found your shoes, man. And like, here's an extra Dama too. So they hooked me up with my shoes, the Dama I ordered, and then a cushion Nick Gallagher, or no, a cushion Zach Gallagher mod, the Ying Yang one.
Yeah.
And dang, man. And I was like, man, that was like really nice of them and stuff. So like kind of from there on, I like started playing. And then, you know, I knew that I could feel, I don't know, I started feeling the magic again because I knew that me playing, like I did have some weird Dama anxiety. I have to play with certain ones or I can't, it's just how I am. I rep and then I rep and I'm loyal until I'm not, you know, until I meet.
I'm loyal until I'm not. I'm going to put that on my Twitter. That's going to be my new life motto. I know. If it's just a really funny statement to say.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's just like, I was feeling too much of random stuff and not feeling what I should be feeling is the magic. And then I got inspired and I was like, you know, we got to get it. Like I felt it again. Cause playing with sweets, you know, like I'm not getting noticed by them. They already noticed me. Like they're already my homies. I talk to them the most and, you know, no offense to Krom or anything, but the players, I can't bond with them as much, you know, some are European, you know, not that that matters, but it still kind of matters because there's different, I don't know, you know, corresponding ways of life. You know what I mean? And then, you know, Bonds is Bonds. He doesn't really talk much. He's more of a action-packed kind of guy, if you didn't notice. And then Fisher, like, he's cool too, but, like, just the people that, you know, I just didn't bond with them as much, you know? And then the people I always already bonded with were people on Sweets or, you know, Sweets himself. You know, he stayed at my house, like, our first Dom in the D. He stayed at my house in 2014 and lived a day in my life with no judgments or anything and hung out with my friends and got beat by my boy Mitch in 2K99. And he smashed the Mad Cats controller in a billion pieces in rage. And I loved every second of it. So
that's, you know, awesome. I love behind the scenes stories in Matt Sweets, this polished CEO of this great organization in Kendama, smashing a Mad Cats controller. I love the personality that he's become through his Twitch and everything. Like, he has evolved so beautifully into like the person that he is now in Kendama. I appreciate that guy so much.
And that's, yeah, that's just another reason why. And even back then, though, back then he asked me to be on the homegrown team. And I was like eight or 9 months in or something. I don't know. Or like a little, or maybe like a year in or something. He's like, yo, you want to be on the homegrown team? And then I told him no, straight up. Didn't even think about it. I said, no, I said, I'm going to be on Kandamako.
And I mean, so you were playing a little cat and mouse with him where you were just teasing him along for a little while and he just kept sending you stuff and sending you stuff. And then did it ever click with you? Like, obviously it did now, but you were like, realize like, oh no, this is where I belong. Like, this is my family.
Well, he wasn't like sending me a whole bunch of stuff or anything. It was just that one time in 2014, he asked me and I said, no. And he said, you're waiting on Kandamako. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm waiting on Kandamako because that's what I really wanted. And I still talked to him, you know, through then, you know, until now, and bought Kandama sometimes and stuff. So I still like played. I just never repped, you know, sweets or anything. And then, you know, like you just said, yeah, like at that point last year, it's like, I knew what I had to do. I knew what I had to do, what I wanted to do and what I was going to do. And I went and did it because not to get sponsored, not to become a legend. Okay. And just a little fun fact for anybody out there. Sorry if this sounds a little mean, but you should not be playing Kandama to get sponsored by anybody. You should be playing Kandama.
Preach it.
You should be playing Kandama. You love it. Please stop DMing me and asking me how to get on sweets. You got to play Kandama because you love it. Then you might get on sweets, but don't play to be sponsored because it's not how it works. Okay. You got to play and have the passion no matter what to get it without the sponsorship. You don't need it. All right. You need to get it either way. Okay. So, but yeah, I felt the magic. I wanted to get it. And then I went and got it because I knew it. I knew it was just, I felt it in me. And then, you know, from there on, I just sent it and I just wanted to get it every day. And I got it. And then it happened really quick. Honestly, it was about 7 months into the, basically the sweet send. And he contacted me. I had Norks and Frazier actually kind of pushing for me in the chat they had. So shout out Frazier, Norks. Pushing for me to get on, you know, something. And, you know, I didn't care to be a legend or, you know, even get a mod. I didn't care about no mod, man. I just wanted to be part of a family finally, like something bigger that could make me, that could fuel me even more. You know what I mean? Like get my passion going even harder, you know? So, and then, you know, then that happened. He sweets contacted me and he's like November 10th, 2020. He said, he said, we talked about it, you know, I want to make you a sweets legend. And then there it was. And then a whole year passed then. And now we're here again. And now, dude, I'm a legend.
That's awesome. And congratulations. Like if you haven't been told this enough, like big props to you. It's a huge honor. I think a huge privilege. And I think you'll wear it really well. I think you already wear it really well. And you've been so impactful in the space. You've cultivated a community of people that have followed along, you know, Stanktober for a few years now, and it's become a consistent thing. And more than that, like you talk to people about how they talk about you, and you are an influential person. You bring goodness and positive vibes wherever you go in the space. And I think that's really healthy. I think that, you know, as we've kind of seen in the past couple of years, like maybe in the past 2 years, there's been, you know, unhealthy things that have come up in Kandama, but you have remained a pillar of like positivity. Where you have become this person that, you know, a lot of people have been able to come to and lean on and enjoy the presence of.
And I also want to say something about that. You know, it is okay to not feel okay.
Totally.
I do not always feel okay.
Totally.
Stuff is always perfect in my life. I go through a lot of stressful things, challenges, if you will, but like me, you know, you can take it however you want. It's in your reality. I cannot be responsible for everybody. I can't. I have to be responsible for me in the end and what I take in for my mental health. And just so you know, though, that it's okay to not be all right and to not be positive all the time. And I just try my best because that's what I feel inside. You know, I don't want to lose myself. And in a way, you know, I try to stay grounded. Even if there's challenges, I take them with a grain of salt or a grain of sand, is that the saying? And I just, you know, take it and help it make me stronger, you know, and just push forward and use it for inspiration and to get inside my head. Like I feel inspired sometimes, like insanely so inspired that I cry. I literally will like tear up because I, no matter what it is, a panda or kendama. It's just something, and it pops up in me, and it makes me want to just go as hard as possible at whatever I'm doing. So at the end of the day, it's okay to not be all right. And, you know, keep it going, keep it flowing. Just do your best. That's all we can ask for. The world ain't perfect right now. Never really was.
And it never will. I don't know if it will be. So, we're all trying, and I can't.
We're all doing our best.
Absolutely. Okay. Talk to me a little bit about your mod. Obviously, you know, we want to know your story, but I love taking some time to promo the new stuff and hype people up on the new mod. So give us a little breakdown here. You've talked about a little bit on the Sweet Stream. People can see it there as well. And even on Kentertainment here recently, but look at that bad boy. If you are watching this on YouTube, you can see it. If you're listening to this on Spotify, we will do our best to give a little bit of a descriptor here if you have not already seen this. So go check it out on Sweet's Instagram or Oliver Cam's Insta. But talk me through this a little bit.
All right, we'll start with the Tama. So I wanted like an OG kind of feel, kind of inspired by Stripe Zens in a way, because I always wanted like a Rasta Stripe Zen. Because back then the stripes were just, you know, straight white and then a little skinny stripe. And it was just so gas. And like, that was the thing back then. But that's what this was inspired of. I always wanted like some sort of Rasta Stripe Zen. And to get to this, though, it took me a second because I would always look at the Tama and I'd be like, what is it missing? Because the stripes weren't like, it was like on the white. So it looked like a zebra. There's no stripes inside. It kind of looked weird. And I kept looking at it and I was like, this is missing something. And then I finally talked to my boy, Johnny Thunder. Shout out Johnny Thunder. He's in my edit as well. He's the big Filipino cat. He's the best.
Johnny's the bomb. Love that guy.
Yeah. He said, he's like, yo, man. He's like, first of all, he's like, closed mouth doesn't get fed. You know, you got to tell him if you think that it needs more or whatever. And then he said, put the stripes in the stripe. And I said, no. I said, no. And I look at it and I go, that's it. And I look at it and it was done. Like, that's it. You know, it's simple but crazy, you know.
Yeah. And so you have the Rasta stripes right around the bevel for tracking, and you also have the Rasta stripes on top on the string hole. Mm-hmm. And then Rasta in the middle, and that's an OG colorway. I know Sweets was talking about that on the live when you guys were doing the unboxing, but that's a really classic colorway from back in the day, and we don't actually see a ton of those anymore, so this was a nice reintroduction to the Rasta colorway.
Mm-hmm. I just love that. Was just always my favorite colorway in kendama, and any dama I use, or you know, some of my favorite damas have been Rasta. So, and it's all about, you know, one love, and you know, let's get, you know, be together. And
then inside the bevel I see that you have an engraving. Talk me through that real quick here.
All right, so DKT are, you know, like I just said, our huge trip we took with DKT, Downriver Kendama Team. That's the little local team that popped up when I started, and we became a team of friends, you know. That was the local team, DKT, Downriver Kendama Team. And then,
heck yeah.
Here we can go into the cup. Like I said, keep it going, keep it flowing. Basically,
what does that mean? Yeah, what does that mean to you? You say it a lot.
Yeah, it was like, well, in the beginning of kendama, I really didn't know, like I said, where I was at, and I knew I was inspired, but I didn't know what to do with it. My one friend at the time pointed me towards a video called The Secret, and it deals with talking about the law of attraction and like your thoughts become things, and then your thoughts aren't just, you know, thoughts. They're like wavelengths, you know, that will, you know, you can make your reality. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you want something, you can get it. You just have to work and you have to have the faith, but you always have to have the faith and you have to put the action. And that's where keep it going, keep it flowing would come from, because I made my own little mantra, the Danky mantra. I don't even know what point I came up with this, but I would say, thank you, universe, for a good day, for a great day, filled with love and gratitude. You're going to keep it going, keep it flowing. You're going to have a good trip, safe trip. You're going to arrive right on time, right when you need to, and traffic will flow accordingly. And then I say, thank you. And then I go to work. And then I do that when I'm about to leave work. And I do that every single day. And that's where it started. Keep it going, keep it flowing.
That's cool. Do you have that mantra written on the box as well? Like that whole.
I don't.
Dude, but, that would have been so sick to put on there. That's awesome.
V2, man. V2. We got V2 coming eventually. You know, I already have the idea for the second one. So we're all good, you know?
All right. I like it. Yeah, okay, here we go. Here's the stanky boy himself.
So the skunk, it was going to be Pepe Le Pew, but, you know, ran into some problems. We didn't want to, you know, make anybody mad or anything, or just anything possibly like that, you know. So
yeah.
Better choice, make the skunk me. So they kind of, he kind of just twerked it and made the skunk me. And then I put, you know, Stanky, because that's like my little saying. And when people are, you know, I like watching new players too a lot, because their stank is like, their stankiness is like crazy, because they're not as fluent in Kendama. So there's a lot more emphasis on their tricks, which I love seeing. There's like super emphasis, you know, and like a swing spike, they'll like swing it and it'll go all the way up to the ceiling, and then they'll catch it all the way in the ground. Like, I just love that. So yeah. Skunk and Stanky. And then that's cool. Yeah, Kendamalicious.
Yeah, yeah. Talk to me about what Kendamalicious is, because that's obviously your Instagram handle. If you're not already following Ronnie and you're a listener of the review, make sure to go follow Ronnie. He's currently running the Stanktober Challenge. He's got new tricks every day, but at Kendamalicious on Instagram, as it sounds, if you can perhaps type that, it'll also be in the show notes below, so you can click that link and follow him there.
So Kendamalicious, basically, like when I was younger or whatever, I would put like licious on the end of stuff. I don't know why. And then the perfect one to put licious when I first made an Instagram, or I guess rather second Instagram I made an Instagram before that, and I didn't have Kendama. And then a week and a half later, I found Kendama, or 2 weeks after I got the iPod, and I made another Instagram and called it Kendamalicious. And from now, like, I would say that Kendamalicious is not only me, but it is a feeling you feel in Kendama. It is that feeling you get when you really are like inspired. You feel this inspirational energy coming over you. Like you're literally tearing. You literally feel it in you, and you want to go get it. And that's what Kendamalicious is. That's what Kendamalicious is. That's what it means. You feel Kendamalicious, you know?
I feel Kendamalicious.
And then Kendama and Delicious, I'm pretty sure. Just Kendama and Delicious, and I put Kendamalicious, you know?
Yeah, I dig it. Cool, very cool. And then you got your signature in the middle on the Serato. Or not on the Serato, on the Ken, sorry.
Mm-hmm, got my signature, Cameron Herrero. And then I got my little Zodiac symbol. I'm not super, like, you know, I haven't read super deep into it, but I do believe in a lot of it, and I think it's fun. And I do think that my sign of Aquarius definitely describes me to almost a par or to a point. So I put that on there. And then another one of the best parts, I think, too, is the kanji on the bottom. And it says love and gratitude in Japanese.
That's cool. That's super cool. Dude, I don't know anything about star signs. I see them in people's bios, and it just is a whole nother language to me. It's like Enneagram or your Myers-Briggs to me. It's like, it is a whole nother personality indicator test that I am so unaware of. So I know, well, jack in a way, all.
In a way, it is basically kind of like a religion, a form of religion that people follow, you know. It doesn't, like, you know, contradict my whole thinking on somebody or anything, but I definitely think it's interesting. I definitely think cosmically, you know, I think universally in that sense of that religion or whatever, because it is sort of religion, the way I believe, you know, that my thoughts become things and then I work for it, it shall happen. You know, just like you've seen right now. I mean, I'm a freaking sweets legend. What?
You are, you know? A sweets legend.
I made it happen. You know, I just grind, knew what I wanted. I knew the goal, and all those thoughts went out and everything, you know, came and it made it happen. So, you know, yeah, I just think it's fun. It gets real deep if you want to get deep into it. And yeah, other than that, you know, what is your sign? Do you know your sign?
Dude, I have no idea. Do you know? Like, what do you need to know to tell me?
What's your birthday?
October 20th. It's tomorrow. My birthday is tomorrow, October 20th.
You're a Libra.
Is that, what does that mean?
You're an air sign. There's air, fire, earth, and water signs. You're an air sign with me. I'm an Aquarius. The air signs are Aquarius, Libra, and Gemini. And you're a Libra.
What does that mean?
All about balance. Mainly about balance. You love balance.
Okay.
You love
balance. I think everybody loves balance, don't they? Like, well, okay, what is balance? What do you mean by balance?
This is why I can't, like, tell you, because I didn't, like, look into it, like, super hard to where I could, like, tell somebody everything about it. All I know is that Libra, the sign, is mostly about balance in their life. Very very laid back, if you will, too. Laid back personality, I would say that too. I mean, some people aren't as laid back. Yeah. I don't know. Man, I only know really about my sign, man. I only know that I'm, you know,
yeah,
very weird, erratic, and you know, what is that, you know?
It's, yeah, you know. Yeah, I'll have to take a look into it. I've definitely done like other personality tests, like the Enneagram or Myers-Briggs, and I've done some other ones kind of in that same, like more of the like psychology field. So not on like the cosmic or star charts or anything like that. But yeah, I guess like, I suppose that I like balance. I normally am usually the type of person that won't take a hard stance on something because I want to play the like, I want to understand all sides. And I just want to kind of figure out like where, I don't know. I usually land somewhere in the middle on a lot of things. So maybe I am balanced.
That sounds real balanced. The middle, right?
Right here, you know, right there. Who knows? I don't know, man. I don't take a lot of that stuff too serious. I like to define myself. Ian's, yo, what's good, Ian?
Ian's a Sagittarius.
That's true.
What does that mean, Ian? Where the preview is becoming a cosmic star lesson right now.
My birthday is December 20th, baby, right on the cusp.
Okay. He's a cusp. He's almost a Capricorn.
Does that mean that you share traits with being a Capricorn?
Possibly. I don't know. I just told you. It just goes deep, and I didn't get real deep in it. All I know is the signs, the birthdays. Some people are real cool. Some people are not that cool.
I know. Isn't that so cool? Where can someone get one of those?
You can get beatskandamas.com /stanky-danky.
No, that's not. Do you have a promo code that you want to drop? I know that some of the
do not have any promo codes, but once I do have one, you'll know what it is.
All right, if you do, you can always DM it to me and I can add it to the show notes of this episode. Surprisingly, like, we get a lot of listeners that come through that end up like re-listening through the whole catalog. They don't even know that the preview exists. And then they're like, whoa, what the heck? There's a Kanama podcast out there. They find me, they find Dominers, Bevel's Advocate, and they just like binge the content from like episode one to now. And that's literally over 100 hours worth of content. It's something like 130 hours of content that are on the review now. So it's like, you're a monster if you do that. Like, what is going on? That's like multiple Netflix series worth of content. And they just want to know the story. So always relevant.
Kendama life, man. Everybody, dude. We're part of the lore, man. In 100 years, they're going to be talking about us in the lore. Okay, people are going to be finding Kendama if the world is still here and we don't blow it up. They're going to be talking about Kendama and we're going to be in the lore, man. We're part of this crazy lore of,
yeah.
It seems mythological to me, man. I love it. I love the lore of Kendama and it's just the feel, you know. I want to be in a museum one day, you know, where my shorts are like in.
I want to see your Pikachu hat just sweat stained sitting up there.
There's like a section with all the Kendama podcasts. You know, you have your little section, the brew view, to have like coffee and stuff like that. You know, this was 100 years ago, whatever. They have my whole section, the Stank Master. It's got my shorts pinned to the wall, you know, my hat, you know, a little synopsis on everything. It's got all the players from around the world. That would just be awesome.
Cool. And honestly, that's like kind of why I love being in this podcast format is, you know, in some regards, like we're creating the annals of Kendama via the podcast. You know, between myself, Dominerds, and the other content creators out there, like people are coming back to this, and this content is the content that they will come back to in years from now to be like, yo, who's this Ronnie guy? Oh, did you know he has a full, you know, 2-hour long interview on the review? You should go listen to it to get to know him. And they'll come here and they're going to come listen to that. And they're going to come and say like, hey, I heard about you on the review. Do you still play Kendama? Like, imagine if you're not playing Kendama in 10 years and someone comes to you and like, hey, I heard you on that podcast. I might not even be podcasting at that point, but it's like this content just lives on the internet forever. And people can always kind of stumble into it by typing Kendama into Google. And that's kind of the beauty of it. And I'm excited for those days. And I love those kind of messages. I had some guy message me the other day. He's like, I just stumbled into your podcast because I searched Kendama. And I was like, what? That's cool. Like, you didn't even know who I was. Like, you didn't. I never knew that people stumbled into the podcast without knowing anything about me or the show or like through like the influence of the community. He just like actually searched it and found it. Which was cool.
It's good. Great.
It's bad. All that to say, dude, I don't want to take too much more of your time. I know you're a busy guy, but tell me a little bit about, well, not that busy, but always Tampa Dama.
Well, 3 days off, you know, I just do whatever. So
yeah. So okay, so with the last little bit that we have here, I want to chat a little bit about where you're going. Where do you see the future of Ronnie Two-Stank? Where do you see the future of Kanamalicious, Cam? You know, where are you going in the next couple of years, and where do you want to be in the Kanama community? Like, what kind of impact do you want to have?
Untold, unknown. Me, I embrace unknown. I will not put anything. We'll just see where it goes with the universe. Because that's exactly how I play too. Like, people ask me, MJ, he said, oh, competition day, say you're competing, you know, what do you compete with? You know, that one honed setup you bring is like, I don't know. I do not know. I go into it completely dark. You cannot know. It all depends on who's honed the most day, the most that day or whatever it is, but I will never know. So, and I also never know this. I will say that I know it shall be good, and it'll be inspirational, and it'll be Kanamalicious, and I'm going to keep playing and just see where it takes me. You know, if it took me this far, then let's go farther, you know, see where it goes. So it's unknown. I'll just embrace the unknown. We'll just say that.
Cool. I got one more question, and then we'll wrap it up here in a quick second. But I want to know from you, because I know that you're very in touch with a lot of the community and you know a lot of the people pretty personally. But if you could recommend three people to the Brewview audience that they should go follow or go check out and be inspired from beyond yourself, who I think they should already be following, who would you want to push them towards and say, like, this is someone I think you guys should be following and checking out because they're doing some really cool stuff in the space?
One, I think you should go follow Emily Caprio, because her reactions are just priceless. I mean, she gets so stoked. She's doing crazy tricks, you know. She's been playing for like, you know, almost 2 years, and she's just been crazy. Her and her friend Lauren, go follow them, Lauren and Emily. Go follow Rhea. Rhea is insane for, you know, just the amount of time
she's been playing. Mad flow.
Yeah, she has mad flow, mad passion. I would say also go follow. Alex Mitchell, of course. Mitchell, really good, techie tricks, satisfying to watch.
Did you see his world record attempt or break of the border flips consecutive?
No, I just seen his recent 1, 2, 3 though, three times.
Yeah. What the heck was that? I watched that and it looked like it was a casual loop. Like, I thought that it was just a loop on Instagram. I didn't realize that it was a one trick all in all. Because he does it, for those of you that haven't seen the trick and you're listening to this or watching this, if you're watching it, I'll try and kind of explain. But he was doing inward toss, tap, flip back, and then he'd catch inward juggle, toss, tap, double flip back, then inward toss, tap, triple flip back. And he did that whole set 3 times in a row and then to spike. And I was like, what the heck?
Juggles,
goat, stunt plane, fast hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the heck? Like, Kendama is at a different level than like I'm ready to even approach now. Like, I remember sitting and we lost Cam there for a second. Looking at a trick list a little bit ago when it was for some event, and I like stared at, I think it was KWC, and I was like, okay, I think I'm at the place now where I'm like, I'm comfortable being Adam, the podcaster and the voice in Kanama. I know that I'm not going to compete at the highest level because I watch tricks like that. And I'm like, oh man, that's a whole nother level that will take me a very long time to catch up to. And by the time I get there, there will be an even another level to get to. And I love the journey. I love the growth. But like, I've realized I've kind of retired out of being a top competitor. Not that I ever was.
I got you on some more. Hold on. All right. So Emily, Lauren, reactions, great tricks. Rhea, flow, awesome passion. Miguel, if you don't know who Miguel, I think his name is Miguel Del Toro. I don't know, but he reps Soul. Very awesome, crispy
play. Always lacing in his kitchen.
Always lacing in the Stank kitchen. Killing it in the kitchen. Obviously, Chad, he's a good – what a guy. We love Chad. There's a couple other ones. They're like random. There's this one guy. His name is Reggie. It's like Reggie triple C or Reggie double C. If you find him, that dude is insane. Okay. And I don't even, he's like a secret slayer, if you will. So go follow him. Reggie, look for Reggie. He's crazy. He did like a goon pinch triple swap spike or something. I don't know. It was insane. But there's another one. Yeah, there's lots of people, though. I can't say them all, but those are some of the main.
There's always so many.
There's people in my edit, too. Go check them out. Emily and Lauren are also in the edit. But go check out the people in my edit. Go check out their Instagrams. They're really awesome. Yeah. Go get
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Dude, Cam, thank you so much for coming on the preview. Thank you so much for telling us a little bit more about your story, hyping us up on the mod. If you guys are considering it, go to sweetskendamas.com and go check out the Cam Herrero Stanky Legend mod. It is fire. You got to see it on the show here. If you want more info on it, you can also go see the unboxing. It's on the Sweet or on the Sweet Skendamas YouTube. There's a lot going on there, and there's a little secret under the Serato there. Do you want to
last one since even though Justin will get mad, or he won't get mad, but he still questions it. It says JG for Justin Green. That is the person that got me into Kendama, and I wanted to pay the respects to my mans who got me into Kendama, so I put his initials on the Serato or on the spike.
Dude, yeah, if you guys are listening to this right now, go give some love and respect to the person who got you into Kendama. Even if they don't play anymore, just shoot them that DM and be like, yo, thank you. Thank you for introducing me to this game that's changed my life. Thank you for introducing me to the toy that's brought so many other relationships into my life. Like, shout out to the guy, Ronan, who got me into Kendama and introduced me to some of my early friends. Like, that guy literally changed the course of my life. And it was all by the introduction of a toy at a camp. And would have I ever expected to be where I'm at, sitting right in here talking with a guy from Michigan about this game that we mutually love? No. And so I have to say a huge thank you to him, because inadvertently he's caused one of the greatest things in my life to happen. So very grateful. So guys, if you're listening, go say some thanks. Go drop a quick hello and thank you to Cam. Cam's always hyped in the DMs to say hello and just support and encourage. Always the good vibes and the positivity coming from them. But Cam, I love to leave the final words of each episode. You know, if you have some encouragement or anything that you want to say to the Kendama community, what would you like to say? And it looks like you're gonna show us something here too. But if you're listening on Spotify, I'm sorry, you're gonna miss this. But oh,
what? Three times the charm. Okay, wait, just give me three times, and we can end it on this, and I'll say a little nice thing. One more.
Right, he gets one more try.
All right.
With a stanky triple lunar flip on the stank mod. Yeah, drop us with some words of wisdom or however you want to kind of wrap it up here. And then we will say goodbye until next week's preview.
It doesn't matter if you're not there yet. You shall be right when you need to. Don't worry. Keep striving for better. Keep doing what you need to do in your life. Keep doing what you want to do in your life to make yourself better. Never give up, and it shall be when it's meant to be. So just keep on your path and keep the mindset good. Keep it going, keep it flowing. You're gonna have a good trip, safe trip. You're gonna arrive right in time, right need to, and traffic will flow accordingly. Thank you so much.
Make sure your mug is full, and we will see you guys back here for next week's episode of The Review. Thank you so much, Cam, for joining us.